Hello again, friends and neighbors. It's Pastor Bob with a continuation of Jesus stories. It's been a few days since we've heard a story of Jesus. But we're back at it today, and we are up to our seventh Jesus story, the beginning of the mission. Our seventh story, we're going to try to squeeze it all in today, so let's go ahead and get started. The beginning of the mission. A few days after Jesus met his new friends, there was a wedding in the town of Cana in Galilee. Jesus, his mother Mary, and his followers were all invited. A great feast followed the marriage ceremony, and many of the guests stayed on for several days, celebrating with much wine and food. The wine supply ran dry before the feast was over. Mary was helping to look after the guests, for she was a close friend of the hosts, and she was the first to notice that the wine jars were all empty. She quietly called her son Jesus aside, knowing that her friends would feel disgraced if they failed their guests, and knowing too that Jesus would be able to help in one way or another. "There is no more wine," she said to Jesus. "What would you have me do?" asked Jesus. "My hour is not yet come," for he had not yet begun to show his wonderful powers to the world, nor did he feel that they had been intended for the use of thirsty wedding guests. But Mary was sure that he would find a way to help. She said to the servants, "Whatever my son tells you, be sure to do it." Now there were six stone water jars standing there for the ceremonial cleansing rites of the Jews, each of them large enough to hold between 20 and 30 gallons of liquid. Jesus told the servants, "Fill the water pots with water," for he had made up his mind to help his friends at this festive time. A beginning must be made sometime, somehow. The servants filled the tall jars to the brim. "Now draw some out," said Jesus, "and take it to the master of the feast." It was the custom for the master of the feast to taste each dish of food and each newly appointed jar of wine before the guests were served. The servants did as Jesus told them and took a serving from the water jar to the master steward for approval. He sipped. He swallowed with pleasure. Both the master of the feast and the servants were surprised. The servants, because the water had been turned to wine, and the steward, because the wine was so extraordinarily good. Now, the steward did not know where this fine wine had come from, for the servants who had filled the water pots had not told him. When he had sipped to his satisfaction, he called the bridegroom, saying, "Every man sets forth his good wine at the beginning of a feast and serves his poorer wine after his feasts have already drunk freely. But you have kept your best wine for the last." The feast drew to a successful close, and for most of the guests, it had been nothing more than a happy wedding party. Yet it was very much more than that. The turning of the water into wine marked the first time that Jesus had used his special powers to perform what is called a miracle. It was only the beginning of a series of unusual signs that were to make him known throughout the land. But it served at this time to show the wonder and glory of Jesus to followers who already wanted to believe in him. When they saw what he had done, they did believe. After this, Jesus went down to Capernaum on the shore of Galilee with his mother, his brothers, and his followers. They stayed for some days. And then Jesus went up to Jerusalem with his friends to celebrate the Passover. They went together to the house of God to worship. There they saw a sight that shocked Jesus to his very soul. The temple court was like a marketplace. Live oxen, sheep, and doves were being sold to the worshipers for sacrifices. Pigeons fluttered overhead, cattle lowed in their stalls, buyers and sellers bargained with each other within the walls of God's house. Money changers sat behind their tables, clinking coins, ready to change foreign currency and large pieces of local money into the silver half shekels required as contributions from the temple worshipers to the priests. It was supposed to be a place for prayer and meditation. Instead, it was a chaos of conflicting sounds and smells, part barnyard and part bank. Jesus was outraged by the desecration of a holy place, the holiest place in all of Palestine. He looked about him and found several lengths of cord. From these strands, he made a little whip or scourge. In itself, it was harmless against the thronging crowd, and indeed, it was not meant to be a weapon. But Jesus knew how to drive a herd of cattle or a flock of sheep. He raised the whip and advanced into the crowd of animals and people. Oxen started to move uneasily toward the temple gate, and the sheep began to follow after them. The small whip flicked through the air as Jesus moved about the temple. People turned on him in anger and then backed away when they saw the look of quiet rage upon his face and the determination of his manner. Money changers, salesmen, customers, oxen and sheep, sightseers in the temple court, all fled in disorder before the relentless man with the tiny whip. They did not move quickly enough for Jesus. He overturned the tables of the money changers and spilled their silver on the floor. "Outside," he commanded, snapping the small whip in the air. "Do your business where you will, but not within the temple." And to the people selling doves, he said, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." The startled salesmen picked up their goods, pocketed their profits, and caught their doves and swiftly left. Now many Jews were angry with Jesus for having done these things. It had become their custom to barter thus within the temple court, for it was convenient for worshipers to have the animals for sacrifice and the money changers with their half shekels so very near at hand. They could see nothing wrong with what they had been doing. Besides, this man who had driven them out was a stranger to them. "Who was he?" they asked each other, "that he assumed authority to do such things?" And we'll stop right there with our seventh story, the beginning of the mission. And we'll pick up tomorrow right where we left off. And until then, have a blessed Tuesday. And may God warm the cockles of your heart today. In Jesus' name, amen.